Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dats Life Formula One Canada Grand Prix.
Close enough, should I try it again?
You'd
probably try it again, but it you, again. You could have that as an outtake.
An outtake in the
or you could leave it in for the
viewer.
For the laughs.
For the lols. Leave it in for the
no,
lols.
No, it's That's my fault because I set you up for that. I was trying desperately not to say lols, and then I ended up just setting you up for it.
He did, and I knocked it out.
The park.
Of the park. Yeah. It's gone. It's absolutely gone. Okay, this is a bit rusty.
Never
rusty.
Coming back.
We'll try. I'll have another go because I'm quite enjoying it.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Dats Life Formula One Canadia. Canadian?
What is it? Oh, excellent.
Canada Grand Review.
Oh, man, that's...
Who says Canada?
You've got to keep it in now. You've got to keep these in now.
Who says Canada? Canada?
That, no one. That guy, Dave from Dats Life.
No one says Canada.
That's a new thing, mate.
Is it?
Right. You've got to nail it now. You can't do it three times. That's like you've got a mental problem if you do it again.
Just a mental block. Because I'm trying to think, like, okay, fine. Right.
You can say Canadian or Canada, Canadian. But not Canada.
Oh, Canadian. Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going for. Right.
Okay. Come on, Dave. We can do this.
Oh, God. This is really
funny. Focus. You can do it.
Can I do it? I can just do it in little bits.
You can do it. Oh, focus, dear. Come on, be more professional.
Hello and welcome to the Dats Life Formula One Canadia Grand Prix
review. You actually said it again.
Did I?
You said it.
Canadia.
Canadia. You said it again.
Canadian.
Oh, God.
This is the Formula One Canadian Grand Prix. That's life review.
I can't believe it.
It's
unbelievable now.
I'm a bit tired. It's been a long day. It's just Canadian.
Is it because you're saying it with a silent N? Perhaps. You know, the Canadian. Canadian.
The word has just gone wrong now. I can't say.
Okay, I think the fan gets the gist. We're here to talk about the Canadian Grand Prix 2019.
What did I say? I can't even remember what I said.
You don't even know what you said.
Canadian.
Three times.
Whew. Canadian Grand Prix, Dats Life Review. Welcome. It's been a couple of months since we've done. You know, we're a third of the way through the season already.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy when you think about it.
It's so fast, isn't it?
It does seem to go just like Formula One.
Oh, great!
Buntish. So it's been a while since we've done one, mainly because this season has been a bit of a Mercedes-dominated German fest so far, which has been slightly disappointing, so we've not really felt the need to make any our own comments. However, the Canadian Grand Prix has just happened.
Oh, you said it right that time.
I did well say done. It right. It's because I'm in flow. And yeah. We felt the need to have the discussion amongst ourselves, what our thoughts were on this race, and what it means for the future going forward as well.
We did a China review last. That was race 3. Between then and now, not much really happened in the races between. They weren't that like eventful.
But there
Merckx
was some
won all.
Oh, there was some. But, yeah. No, you're right. We have to. We have
just
to.
Just like I don't know if we need to really recap them, but.
But there is one big event that we should probably address, and that's the death of Niki Lauda, who passed away about a month ago now, isn't it? So yeah, his presence is surely going to be missed in the F1 paddock, and yeah, obviously both of us never met the guy, but it just shows how the person he was transcended normal life. The fact that even we're talking about him and mentioning him. So, you know, as we say, it's a big loss.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the greats. Not just the fact that he won 3 world titles, wasn't it?
Yeah, 3 titles, yeah.
Yeah.
But the man,
he was
the manner,
so much more than that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He, like, obviously, like, for those who have seen Rush in 1976, he had that massive crash, and then it says a lot about him that, was it 40-something days after, like, having,
the
you know, huge amount of burns and all that sort of stuff, he came back and raced, and, I mean,
it just takes
incredible.
If that was me, I'm sure I probably would have quit. Well,
yeah, I think a lot of drivers would have.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Well, obviously, I wouldn't be in Formula One, but that takes just an amazing amount of courage. And
yeah,
there's a fine line. They say there's a fine line between courage and stupidity, but in that instance, I think we know what side he erred on.
Yeah, and I mean, he came back and he won the following year, didn't he? He won the title. 77.
It is.
So, just amazing to think you can come back from pretty much the brink of death or the brink of never being able to race again to then come back and to be the best in your sport again. Incredible,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, exactly. So this is our overdue. A few words about the great Niki Lauda. And I'm sure, his presence, like I say, his presence was felt, his loss was felt in Monaco and going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, it won't be the same not seeing him alongside Toto Wolff, because we're so used to seeing him, you know, in the pit garage and being involved with the Mercedes team and. It's going to be strange without him, but I guess in some ways he lived 30 something years more than was meant to have lived. So I guess in that sense it was, another thing I thought of, like I had a nice thought that, like the day he died, I kind of was like, he's having a good old chat with James Hunt now.
Yeah. Like
they've had a catch up together somewhere.
Exactly. They're up in the great circuit in the sky. To do what they did best.
Yeah. Yeah. So
shall we talk about was there another aspect you wanted to touch upon?
No, just to kind of bridge that gap between race 3 and race 7, which we've just had. Just to continue the F1 podcast that we've been doing, you know, just to continue it on.
Yeah.
You know, just to bridge that gap.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So was it Azerbaijan the following race? After Canada, is that right?
After Canada.
Sorry, China. Begins with a C. China. Begins with a C.
Azerbaijan.
So since we've done the last review, there has been Azerbaijan, Spain, Monaco.
Monaco.
And was that?
Yeah.
That's a free race.
So that was 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. So that.
Yeah. So Bottas won Azerbaijan and Hamilton won in Spain and Monaco, but all of which weren't particularly interesting. Hence why there was no need to have a little. Before we felt there was no need to do a review of them, but we're back now, and quick review of those races was dull and not so dull, maybe.
They weren't races to look back on in years to come, I don't think.
that's to say the least.
Whereas last night's race is one we will talk about for years to come, I believe.
I agree. I think it's going to
incident in particular.
It's going to go down in Formula One history, I think, this race, but for all the wrong reasons, which we will get into. So it was a fascinating race weekend, actually, because Mercedes and the Ferrari were kind of jostling for position all weekend. Between Hamilton and the two Ferraris, Bottas just didn't seem to be on it this weekend for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be on it. So qualifying, Vettel put the car on pole. His car on pole position for the first time this year, and indeed for the first time in 17 races, if you can believe.
Yeah. Incredible, isn't it?
That's crazy to think about that stat. When I looked up there, I was thought, wow, that was his first pole. For Vettel, that just shows what sort of a bit of lull he's been in.
Yeah,
that's an entire season's worth. Of course, Leclerc got his maiden pole position in Bahrain earlier this year. So not Ferrari's first pole, but Vettel's first pole. Hamilton was second on the grid alongside him with Leclerc in third. Also, an honourable mention to Daniel Ricciardo, who managed to put his Renault up in fourth place.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. A stunning performance, beating one of the Mercedes on merit. Obviously, Verstappen didn't make it into Q3, primarily because a certain Kane Magnussen binned it. Or did he have a suspension failure going into the corner? There was some talk, maybe there was a problem with the car.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I mean, they can say that he had such a whack that they can say what exactly. they want. And you're not going to be able to prove them differently, really.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously, it caused a red flag at the end of Q2. And a lot of drivers were unable to improve their times, with Max Verstappen being the big casualty. But nevertheless, Ricciardo up in fourth position in the Renault was Renault's best qualifying performance since 2010, I think it was, with Robert Kubica. So fantastic performance for him, and showing the trajectory that Renault is on.
Yeah. It's the first race, really, that they've shown what they're really made of, I think. And what we can expect to see from them for the rest of the year. At least that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, no, same. I want to see Renault start mixing in and clear the midfield, establish themselves as midfield runners, and maybe challenging the top three teams towards the end of the year and going into next year. But let's see what happens. So, getting into the race itself. It was a very tense race, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For a lot of it, there wasn't much major action. I think the DRS didn't really work very very well in this race.
I mean the back straight is very long.
Yeah.
There was a few cars that passed before they'd even reached like halfway down the straight.
Yeah.
They seem to fly past. So it kind of takes the edge off the move a bit.
Yeah.
A
few drivers managed a good overtake in turn one. I think Kvyat overtook someone into turn one, which was quite good. I appreciate that one.
Was that on the last lap or last?
Oh, that was on. He overtook Sainz going into the first corner. He proper dived down the inside.
That was a great move.
Perez did a similar move as well, which was appreciate that. Yeah. It was good action. But between the top teams, it was quite close. So there was a lot of talk about the soft tire not being able to go over any laps, which was rubbish because it was fine.
Hulk managed to take it like 15 laps or something.
And people were saying it would fall off after four or five laps, but
obviously there was a few that did pit fairly few pit on like lap eight or something, quite soon, but obviously Hulk showed us that it could go longer 15.
So I think a couple of teams were playing it a bit safe. But that was what it was. So the big event up front was Vettel and Hamilton, which was great. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen a Vettel Hamilton fight. Like I said before, it was edge of your seat stuff because Hamilton would close up and he'd be like he'd just be inside DRS and you're thinking, oh, he's really pressuring here, and then he'd drop back a bit, a couple of seconds to try to save his tyres, I guess, save a bit of fuel. Then he'd edge back up again. And it was very cat and mouse like that for a good half of the race, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, he seemed to lock up into the hairpin.
Yes, yeah.
Quite a lot of times, just the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if, I don't know why he kept doing that.
He was pushing hard because he obviously knew that back straight was his best chance to really get close to Vettel because of the DRS.
Yeah.
So he's probably.
But then he'd go wide into that corner, so then his exit wouldn't be as good. So
you'd think
he would have learned. I don't know if perhaps he.
He was pushing.
Couldn't slow the car down as well, maybe, and had to really. I don't know.
Yeah. No, he was definitely pushing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Which was great. It was great to see. Which makes it also shows good hope for the rest of the season that if Ferrari can take the fight to Mercedes regularly, we'll get to see more of this. Maybe it's a bit late in the season for Ferrari to seriously mount a challenge, which is crazy to say that. You know, we're in June, further the season through, but I can't see how Hamilton could not win the title this year.
No, yeah. He's won 5 of 7.
It's crazy.
And was it second and third in the other two or something?
Probably second, isn't he? He's finished second and he's finished second higher in every race. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, and then the team as well have had 1-2s. The first five were all 1-2s. And then obviously now was it 1-3 and then what did
let's touch on Bottas here. He finished in fourth place, but so far down. I don't understand. Yeah. I couldn't fathom. So it was almost like he wasn't there. You know, so you're watching the front, and I was thinking to myself, oh, how much did he do really well? Then I look at the timing screens. I think, where is Bottas? It's like, he's half a minute back. I just hold that thought for a minute. I just want to check. Yeah, so Bottas finished the race 51 seconds behind Hamilton.
Wow.
I mean, that says a lot.
That's quite close to a lap down.
Yeah, really. a lap down.
It's not far off.
So Hamilton and Vettel were really, obviously, their pace was hot. You know, they're really, really pushing. Yeah. But Leclerc managed to keep with them for the most part. But Bottas really not on it this weekend. And never mind Bottas 2.0. This was like Bottas 0.5, you know. Bottas on his day, we've seen it. We talked about this before. On his day, Bottas could beat anyone, but then he has days like this when you think, how is he so far back? What's the problem?
I don't know. Perhaps he doesn't like the track. Maybe it's. Yeah, he just didn't. Yeah. Just had not a great few days really. Yeah, just didn't turn up.
But Bottas 2.0 did not turn up for this Grand Prix. That much is obvious. So shall we talk about the event?
Yes. Let's.
So this is the controversial point.
So if perhaps you, if So, yeah, maybe if you explain what happened.
So, if you're listening to this, you're probably an F1 fan anyway. You've seen the incident. You've already made up your mind about it. But for the hell of it, we're going to talk through the incident and give our own little verdict on it. So, if you're interested, keep listening. So, as that 48, Hamilton is right. He's probably as close as he's been to Vettel. Is that fair to say?
Close. Roughly. Yeah, within a second.
He's within a second. And it's, which corner is it? The third corner? It's coming into the third
corner.
Three
into four, yeah.
Yeah. And Vettel makes a mistake. You know, as we've seen him do quite a lot last year. But
he seems to do it when...
He cracks.
When the pressure's on. Yeah, it's happened quite a few times now.
Vettel makes a mistake, cracking under the pressure. Obviously, it's, you know, we can't imagine what it's like in this cockpit. Anyway, he lost the back end, didn't he? You see, he comes to the corner, back end steps out of him. So he corrects that by going onto and over the grass.
Yeah.
Obviously, on the grass, no grip. So he's fighting to retain control of the car. He comes back onto the circuit, and it's clear. You can see it from the onboard. Vettel turns the steering wheel to the right. That's clear. Yeah. That's clear to see.
Yeah.
But he's doing that in response to oversteer to correct the car to keep it, you know, keep it in balance as he returns the circuit. Hamilton, meanwhile, he's seen that Vettel's gone off, so he's thinking, oh wow, this is my chance. This is a bit like Damon Hill. Night four. He's seen Schumacher. Well, he hadn't actually seen Schumacher goes off, but Schumacher's slow. Here's my chance to overtake. Unlike Hill and Schumacher in 94, they didn't hit each other. But from the outside,
but he could've.
Yeah, it looks like that Vettel's gone off. He's saying, "Oh no, I've messed up." And it does look like he squeezes Hamilton to keep him back. And I think any one of us probably. You know, in that situation, probably would have done the same. I mean, you're fighting for the lead of the Grand Prix, you're going to try your best to keep the guy behind you, whether you've gone off the track or not.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If he had that much control that
he could position
it right, I think in some ways he did well not to hit the wall on the other side.
Oh, absolutely.
He didn't put his foot down too soon.
It was a great bit of car control.
Yeah, so I think he did what he could just to not spin or hit the walls, to hit Hamilton. I think he managed to avoid a crash in a lot of ways.
So I think Hamilton was maybe surprised at Vettel's movement back onto the track. That's why he came on the radio. He came on the radio. What was his words? I think he said something about dangerous.
That was dangerous. Yeah, coming back on the track because he sees the gap and he's like, right, yeah, chance. The gap very quickly is closed.
He's thinking, oh, damn, that could be my one chance to win the race, and he's lost it. So even though it may not be actively aware of it, he's saying to the stewards, you know, ooh, That wasn't safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the race continues. They continue, and then they say, "Oh, we're going to look into it," and then they give Vettel a 5-second penalty for what was it for? It was for returning to the track in an unsafe manner.
Yeah.
That was the penalty.
Yeah.
So the debate really is, was it unsafe? What made it unsafe?
I guess the fact that Hamilton had to slam on the brakes to avoid hitting him or the wall.
Yeah.
Fact that Vettel didn't really have control of the car as he basically kind of swerved back in front of another car.
Mm.
I guess that's what makes it unsafe.
That's what makes it unsafe. So motorsport is unsafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to say my bit.
Yeah.
It's a racing incident. It's what it's all about. You know, you say unsafe. Yeah, you say it's an unsafe return to the thing. If it's unsafe, don't race. I think I've made my thoughts on safety in Formula One.
Yeah, in the past.
I obviously you don't want to see drivers getting hurt or anything like that. But they sign up. It's a risk every time they get in the car. No one's asking them to take that risk. They're taking the risk themselves.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that came up a lot was, what else could he have done? Like, where else could he go? He literally went across the grass. There's no option for him but to come back on the track. He can't.
Yeah.
He can't slow the car down before he. You know, it's impossible.
And that was Vettel's argument was, well, that's the first thing he said to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Was,
where else could I go?
Where could I have gone?
Yeah, I completely get. So having had a day to think about this, I was thinking about this. So, and my conclusion is that the law is dodgy.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking, so take out the fact that Vettel had nowhere else to go, like, kind of take out the unfair, like, oh, it's not fair, like, he didn't do much wrong, blah blah blah, like take out that side of it, that he had no choice, he didn't have a choice, he had nowhere else to go.
Yeah,
take that side. Was it unsafe? And the answer to that is yes.
Hmm.
Right, so yeah. Going yeah. by the laws, they were right to give the penalty, because whether or not he had a choice or he had space or whatnot, it wasn't safe in the way he came back on the track.
Yeah.
He could have caused a crash, he could have hurt another driver, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think the rule, you almost need to have someone who takes the rule but kind of goes, okay, look at the different things. So the speed he was going, like the space he had, the kind of the choice he had, like if he, like, could he have kept left and would that have been more safe or less safe? You kind of got to take it each corner on its own, like, I don't know if you know what I'm saying, like
on its own merits.
You can't judge it all the same by one rule. Like it can't be judged like that, because Seb, there was nothing else he could have done.
Yeah.
But going by the rules, it wasn't safe, and therefore he should have had a penalty.
And here's the conflicting argument. By the letter of the law, as you've just pointed out, the stewards had no option but to award a penalty, because that's what's written in the rule book. And, you know, the rules are there for a reason. Get that. But are we saying that the fundamental problem is the rules about engagements needs to be relaxed?
yeah, they need to have someone to interpret them for each particular crash or close crash or whatever goes on, whatever the unsafe part is.
Yeah,
you need to look at the whole picture.
And here's the trouble though in Formula One. I'll use the example of VAR in football. In football, you have the video assistant referee.
Yeah,
they stop the game. You know, they could spend 5 minutes thinking about it. Formula One, 5 minutes is lifetime.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and it did, and I thought
it took a while.
It took them so long to decide, and perhaps that's why they were kind of going, it's not a penalty, but going by this law, we have to give a penalty. Like, we can't defend ourselves. If then they say, why didn't you? We can't say, well, we just didn't feel like it was the right thing to do. The law's the law. Like, rules are rules. Yeah. You can't adapt them when you feel like. So perhaps that's why it took them so long, because they were thinking, like, really? Like, there's going to be a lot of fans who are going to be annoyed by this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a massive, like, outcry. But we've got to do it because it's the law. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Perhaps that's why it took them so long.
Well, at the end of the day, the decision was made to award Vettel a five-second time penalty. So in the history books, will forever show that Lewis Hamilton won the Canadian Grand Prix of 2019. I got Canada right, but then I got the wrong year. But spiritually, Vettel won the race in the same way as Hamilton won the Belgian Grand Prix in 2008.
Can I just say one thing as well? Like,
yes.
Whether or not the driver meant to do it shouldn't affect things, if that makes sense. So, Vettel didn't mean to cut him off, say, but he didn't have a choice but to come back on. He didn't mean for it to not be safe, blah blah blah. That shouldn't
come into play.
Be a point. Yeah, it shouldn't come into play.
I was thinking
about it today, like, think back to Spa last year when Hülkenberg, the very start, he locked up his brakes and he ploughed into the car in front that hit Leclerc and they had that big crash and stuff. Like, Hülkenberg, he doesn't mean to lock up, he doesn't mean to make that mistake. But he's done that, and sort of the same as Seb. Like, he doesn't mean to lose the rear end, but he does. And then the next thing, he's a passenger for the next part, sort of the same as Hulk as well, where he had no choice. He was going to hit the back of the car in front. You know, it was...
Yeah.
And so, obviously, he didn't mean to cause that crash, but he has. So he gets a penalty. So it's like Seb doesn't mean to swerve and to come on the track and cut off driver. He didn't have a choice. Like, he couldn't, you know, there's a wall to his left. And then, you know, the grass is not much grip. So he's basically got no choice but to keep going through. But that is the case. And that's where the penalty happened.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. It's good. No, it's good. Ferrari have made the intention clear they're going to appeal the decision. It's not going to go anywhere.
So how does it happen?
There's nothing they can do. The penalty was applied during the race, and that's where it ends. That's the rule of law. And obviously the FIA aren't going to look into it, renegade on it, because then it will look even worse than it already does, because then they'll admit they're in the wrong in the first place. So it'll just be even more bizarre. And they can't do that, because it will set such a dangerous precedent as well. So it means that if you get a 5 second penalty in or whatever penalty in a race, you can then appeal it later on.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. You know?
And I think, like, again, I think the law is wrong, or the rule is wrong, but I think they were right to give a penalty based on the rule, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is, yeah, totally right.
So I don't think they're going to get back on it.
They need to... It's about over-regulation, isn't it? About... You can't really, like you said before, every corner, every lap, every race, every corner is different, and you can't create a set of rules or frameworks that will govern how a driver will take that corner in every given situation. It's an impossible task, and at the end of the day, on yesterday's race, the loser was the FIA and Formula One because they shot themselves in the foot. With what happened,
I mean, it's a weird one because the rule before this race, you would say that rule of if you return to the track in an unsafe way, you kind of go, well, yeah, that's obviously that should be a rule because if somebody goes off and then they just pull out in front of a car going 150 and they're going like 10 or whatever, you would say that rule is correct, but I guess the difference is that there needs to be a tiny bit of common sense as well.
Agreed.
That common sense. They can that they can apply it. It's not set in stone. They just apply that rule to whatever they're having a look at.
So I think the key aspect here, though, as well, is that Sebastian checked his mirrors. You know, it's a bit.
As he came back on,
he was checking his. He did. He definitely checked his mirror to see where Hamilton was. Think back to when you know Ricciardo in Baku, he reversed out without checking his mirrors and crashed into the back of. Kvyat.
So he got a penalty for that, didn't he?
Probably.
He got some points on his license.
Yeah, it's basic driving. You know, you'll check your mirrors. So you say unsafe. What more could he have done than check these mirrors, get the car back on the track safely, and both of them continued. Yes, Hamilton had to apply his brakes, but he's spatially aware enough to do that. You know.
Yeah.
Because Hamilton's a smart guy.
But there
we are. So I like to draw this to a conclusion. So what was your take on Vettel's actions after the race had finished?
I thought fair play to him. Nice one. Like, because I can see why he was so down. Like, I've read a few times that he had a massive sulk, but I don't know if it was sulking. Really, I think he was just so.
So frustrated. Yeah.
And I think if I was in that kind of, like, if I was him, I would have been like, this is just wrong. Why should I now go and follow the rules that they set, you know, when I don't want to, I just want to go and punch a wall or something.
I just don't want
to be seen. I just want to go away and calm down. And then we'll think about things. And they're like, no, you've got to come and chat to us. You've got to do all the press stuff.
Talk to Martin Brundle.
So I can kind of see why he basically stormed off when he came in. When he switched the place signs, that was brilliant. I'm not a massive fan of his, but I did think he's got a point here. I think fair play to the guy.
And see, it's funny you said it because I kind of think the opposite. When I saw his reaction, I was thinking, I was the same as you, that what you just said, I was thinking, yeah, I'd be throwing my toys at the pram as well. That's an injustice.
Yeah.
An injustice done. But then today, like you said, I was thinking about it and I was thinking, oh, hang on. You know, this guy is meant to be a professional sportsman. It may have been even more powerful if he had just sucked it up a little bit. The way he went up, the way he stormed off, the way it did look like, you know, the analogy of a kid throwing his toys out the pram a bit. And Sebastian's got a bit of a reputation for that, for some of the other stuff he's done in the past. So obviously he's still that hot head, but at the same time, yeah, it shows his passion. It shows his passion about the sport, shows his passion. But if he had just been a little bit more decorum in following the sports rules and regulations a little bit, you know, following the procedure a bit more, maybe I would have had even more respect for him having to go through all that and just fighting through it.
I do understand, but I think sometimes, when you just come out like it's like we've had a bit of time to think about it and go, well, maybe that was a bit much.
Yeah.
But when you're jumping right from a car straight into the world,
you kind don't of going,
also, Seb, what do you think about that? Like, you're robbed, blah, blah, blah. And the crowd are like cheering and booing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just like the adrenaline's flowing, the emotions.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't blame him.
The last thing you have at that moment is a level head. And
totally
understand that. And
I can imagine Hamilton doing the same thing. Like, I can't imagine him keeping his mouth shut and just doing that sort of thing. I think he would, like, maybe not in the same way, but he doesn't lose well, like.
Yeah.
I think he would have had a big sulk as well and kind of accused it not being fair. I think most of them would have, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. All of them, they're all they're meant to be winners, aren't they? They all want to win, and definitely the wrong result happened, and that's
what,
but I would just to finish there. Massive respect though for Seb. For a while, I didn't think he was going to do the podium. I thought he was just going to.
Leave
the track, just go.
Like, it might have, because I kind of thought like, if he doesn't do, like, would that be the first time that there's only been two drivers on the podium? I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
You know, I was racking my brain about that. I was trying to think back, but
feels like there must have been one. Well, so
yeah,
I kind of thought that if he didn't do that, it would make more of a statement. It'd be like, you know, like, and I know it's just a race win, but he hasn't won in so long, and the team hasn't won. It was such a massive, it could have been a turning point. It was a massive thing, just for the team, as like, just, it's nice to win, you know.
Yeah,
it's sort of,
and it was taken away in the fashion. Just
like, you've really worked hard, you've earned it, you've come from, you know, you haven't, well, he could have won Bahrain, well, he should have won it, but it's not like they've really been that close, and to then have a win, it must hurt, it must really, really hurt.
It's the closest you can get to winning a race without actually winning it, I think.
Yeah, because he crossed the line first. Yeah. And it was
seconds.
Weird when they crossed as well, because you're used to them being like hand up and stuff, or like two hands, and they both cross the line and they both just did a little wave or whatnot.
Yeah.
Or did Seb do like the thing? Like,
no, I don't think he did. I think
he wagged his finger kind of to be like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, something like that.
As opposed to like winning. But yeah, it was one of those weird ones where no one was really that pleased to be on the podium.
They all looked like, oh dear, this was, except the Mercedes,
this isn't right.
Except the Mercedes representative. That
yeah,
girl, she looked quite happy to be on.
Yeah, she was pleased.
she was having a great time. So there we are. Were there any other noticeable moments that you want to comment on? I just want to quickly touch on Lance Stroll, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Which is, I don't believe I'm going to say this, but he did well.
He did a really good stint on the hard tyres at the start.
It made the race. He made his race
consistent. Yeah, he had a really good move on. Who was it? Who was that move he made?
I think it was Sainz, wasn't it?
Sainz into the final corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he finished up in ninth place. Well done.
Well done, Stroll.
Blimey.
I mean, it's about time he started getting some points for the team.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't done all that well so far.
And of all the places to do it, best do it at your home Grand Prix anyway.
Yeah, his home race seems to be like, obviously he got his first points there 2 years ago.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And that kind of, and then the next race was when he was third in Baku. So perhaps, you know, perhaps this could be another little boost for the next race in France.
A little turning point.
France is next.
Yep. So the next Grand Prix.
Not sure I like France. It.
Are you going to be there?
No. Are you going to be there?
No.
No. Well, I'm going to watch it.
Well, in that case.
I'm not sure I like the track. I don't. What's your view on it?
I think I need to see another race, to be honest.
Yeah, it's basically like a big go-kart track. It's just flat, isn't it? With lines on the... Yeah. It's just a big tarmac bit with some lines.
Pretty much. And there's a racetrack.
Yeah. I'm not sure I like it. But there you go.
There we are. So the next race is in 2 weeks' time because it's Le Mans next week.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to a 24-hour binge.
You're going to be watching that, yeah?
I'm going to try.
Yeah. You probably won't watch the entire thing, but
that'll be pretty difficult. So, thank you for listening. Do you agree with what we've said or disagree? You know, if you like, you can comment below. Any good ones we'll pick out for the next show. But in the meantime, we hope you've enjoyed, and we'll be back pretty soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.